Welcome to this podcast from St. Michael and All Angels Episcopal Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We hope you consider hitting like or subscribe. We hope you will share this audio with your friends and neighbors, help others know about our inclusive, theologically progressive community of faith. If you'd like to support our ministries, you can make a gift at stmichaelsabq.org.
In the name of our loving, liberating, and life-giving God, amen. Please be seated. The Trinity is an interesting topic for a linguist who focuses on language revitalization to preach about this morning. The history of the doctrine of the Trinity is fraught with xenophobia and other slightly more benign forms of cultural misunderstanding. It was a Roman doctrine developed by Roman aristocrats. In many of the most important meetings about this foundational piece of Christian doctrine, voices that did not already agree with the intended outcome were barred without conversation or appeal. And bishops, while they were deliberating these incredibly important theological topics, were often under threat of starvation and dehydration while they debated, unable to leave a room until the resolution had been reached and finalized. The first of the misunderstandings about the Trinity sprang up between Romans and Greeks, two cultures and languages that were relatively similar and familiar with one another. So hopes that things would get better as Roman Christianity expanded and encountered languages and perspectives deeply different from Latin slowly faded as the Dark Ages took hold of Europe and the church slowly consolidated power. But we got the Trinity right. Right? So the first thing that I want to say is that I've been deeply influenced by the Orthodox understanding of the Trinity, which understands the Trinity as one fellowship rather than one substance. Three beings whose relationship with each other is so perfect that they are difficult but not impossible to tell apart. But beyond that, I want to talk about why I think the concept of the Trinity could bring something important into our lives today. Because the triune God holds two concepts particularly well: identity and relationship. And the Trinity is the perfect expression of these two ideas side by side. Each person of the Trinity retains their personhood, their core identity. The Father, the Creator, the Mother, aligns with many aspects of God from the Hebrew Bible. The powerful God that was stirred to do something about acts of injustice, like the oppression of the Israelites enslaved in Egypt, or sustaining the widow and the orphan in the story of Elijah, the God that knows our needs and responds to them before we ask. The second person of the Trinity was revealed in much of the New Testament in the person of Jesus Christ, the firstborn child of the living God, the God that proclaimed divine power at the height of his ministry in the crucifixion, the God that is always among us in the form of those that need help with food, water, shelter, clothing, the God whose name is mercy and whose teachings are compassion, because in serving others, we glimpse the face of God, the Christ that calls us to keep this one last commandment, to love one another as God loves us. The third person is certainly the most mysterious part of the Trinity. It is also the one whose coming is marked with the most and the most powerful deeds. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, the young church is able to deliver on the promise that Jesus made on the Spirit's behalf, that those who follow Jesus will see and perform greater miracles than Jesus Christ himself. The Spirit is the aspect of God breathing new life and vigor into creation. Whether it's new ways to interpret Scripture as we set down the ways it was taught to us, or whether the church is finding new ways to bring the power of God into the moments when people need it the most. And the remarkable thing about the Trinity is that none of them cease being who they are to participate in this beautiful relationship with the other two. These are not modes of operating, but dynamic and powerful persons held in dynamic and powerful relationship. And that's an important lesson for us to hear, because we are often confronted with the reality that there are many who still make sense of love in terms of power and control. And in a relationship with people like that, we will always be presented with the choice to become smaller in order to be in relationship, to make our needs smaller, to shine a little less brightly. And that's the wisdom that the Trinity has for us now. A relationship with God will never call you to be smaller or minimize your needs or give up your agency or sovereignty. And one of the ways that we know that is because the most important relationship that we are given to imitate and emulate, the Trinity itself, does not involve anyone being smaller. Each person of the Trinity is called deeper into who they are within that relationship, and the Trinity itself calls each of us deeper into who we are as we come to know God. So I'm grateful this Trinity Sunday that we worship a God that does not call us to be smaller, but calls us into better relationship with ourselves and others, and calls us into fuller expression of who we are in the eyes of God. Amen.